I went to my father, said, look, Dad, I love you, but I think that my path is another one. So thanks for everything, but I need to try. I need to put everything on the table and I need to back everything. So the day after, I decided to found the company, and I invested all the savings I had at that time.
Welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast, where Houston's manufacturers come to share, learn, and grow. Brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com.
In today's episode of the Manufacture Houston podcast, we talk to Alessio LaRusso, who is the founder and CEO of Robos, an Italian 3D printing company that has recently located to Houston. Alessio takes us through his journey from his father's machine shop to creating one of the world's most progressive 3D printing companies. Can't wait for you guys to hear this episode.
Alessio, welcome. It's good to hear from you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you much for the kind invitation.
Absolutely. Well, we're so happy to have you on this episode of Manufacture Houston. And you and I have worked some things together already, and you've got such a great story. And I think our audience is going to love to hear it. So let's start off with an introduction about you and your background and how you got started on this journey of manufacturing all the way to what you're doing now with Robos.
So I founded the company in 2015, but I do this. I mean, I do 3D printing since I was 17 years old. So 13 years ago, actually. but I come from manufacturing because my dad used to have a small CNC shop, 5 employees, very small, but it was very useful experience for me, and I learned a lot regarding manufacturing, regarding machining. So I come from the shop floor.
Yeah, which is a great background in that. And your dad's shop is in Italy, and you're from Italy, correct?
Yeah.
So what did you learn from that, those early days of working in your dad's small machine shop, that you think is really valuable for you right now and what you're doing with Robos?
Absolutely, because I understood exactly what manufacturing means, and provided me the perspective about understanding timing, understanding parts cost, understanding what's really important for manufacturers, for CNC shops, for customers, because I was on the other side, no? So that experience provided me the opportunity to understand how to create a compelling offer around our technology and concentrate everything in what's really important for manufacturers.
Yeah, and I think that's really good to have the experience with CNC machining and dealing with customers every day. Certainly set the foundation for Robos. So now tell us about the Robos story. Where did that begin? So going from CNC machining to building this company is a pretty big jump. So tell us about how you even thought about entering the 3D printing world.
Yeah, so I used to have the passion regarding robotics, mechatronics in general. So I had my own laboratory in my room, and I used to experiment with a lot of things, a lot of stuff. And back in the days, probably it was 14, 15 years ago, I saw probably Make magazine. And it was the first time I saw a 3D printer. And look, 14, 15 years ago, 3D printing was something, unbelievable. What the hell is? It comes from the future. So, but I mean, I was totally, I felt in love with that, because in one unique machine, in one unique technology, I found all my passions and so chemistry, material science, mechanics, electronics, computer science. So I said to myself, no, this is so amazing. I need to understand how it works. And the only way, in my opinion, to understand really how it worked was to build one. So not to purchase one, not to buy one, but because, you know, at that time, you had two possibilities. The first is to buy a very expensive machine, $1 million probably. And the second one was to build your own, you know, buying all the parts, all the components, and build your own. And I decided to go through this path. So I started to collect all the components from Amazon, eBay, from the CNC shop of my father. And I spent more than 2 years to have something working a bit. And but it was an incredible experience. And believe me, those 2 years probably were the most valuable years for my training, for my life, because I used to learn a lot of things all together, and it was incredible. But yes, everything started like this.
And did you have, when you would, that during that 2 year period, were you thinking about starting a company, or were you just driven by curiosity at this point?
Exactly. Just playing. Just curiosity, just playing. And in the beginning, I didn't realize that a day, probably 3D printing, could be, you know, my work, my job. So, but I was driven just by passion at the beginning, really.
Well, I think that's such a good place to begin. And I think just great advice for young people, young professionals that are perhaps listening to this episode, that the idea of playing with things and just experimenting and doing things on your own is such a valuable experience to have, and that can lead to great things down the road.
Yeah, because I think that it's the most natural way to understand things. Without, you know, without thinking about money, without thinking about business, but just understanding the technology, just understanding how it works, and once I understood how it worked, I also understood that there were some problems in the technology for the scalability of the technology itself. So then I started to look into the business, understanding the prices, understanding the value proposition, understanding why a customer like my dad a day would be capable to acquire 3D printing. So why is switching from CNC machining to 3D printing? So I started to learn a lot regarding this, and I saw that there were some problems. There were some opportunities as well. And I understood that at that time, 3D printers were incredibly expensive or totally unprofessional, because, you know, you had do-it-yourself kits and you had, at that time, a very expensive machine. So I understood that probably in the middle, the middle space wasn't covered, and in my opinion, that technology at that time, but especially in our days today, this is a technology for the small medium companies. Because think for a moment, in an industrialized countries like US, Germany, Italy, you have very few big companies, but you have hundreds of thousands of small medium companies. And I think that the real innovation comes from them. So we really need to provide an instrument, a tool to small and medium companies to create innovation that can be sold to the big companies then.
Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting position, because in order for the technology to really have market reach. It's all the small to medium-sized companies that actually have to figure out a way to use it. And what I've noticed about the Robo's technology is that it doesn't require you to be a PhD scientist to start using. I mean, there's a good customer interface and good technological interface, especially with your company. So I think that's an important part of it. So when did you actually form Robo's? What was the date or the year that you formed Robo's?
It was December 2015. I remember that day because I went to my father. I went to my father. I said, "Look, Dad, I love you, but I think that my path is another one. So thanks for everything, but I need to try. I need to put everything on the table, and I need to bet everything." So the day after, I decided to found the company, and I invested all the savings all the savings I had at that time. So 4 years working with my dad, so very like an employee, so nothing more than that. So I invested 40K at that time. I founded the company. I started to have a first part-time employee who was a mechanical engineer, a friend of mine, and I asked a help in the beginning to design the first prototype. So in the early days, we designed together the mechanical components, the electronics. I wrote the code, and we built together the first 10 prototypes after 2 years of pure R&D. Very tough time, very tough time, but incredible, incredible. I mean, it was an amazing experience, and that tough time means a lot for me, because I understood what means create a company, build a company, and think about everything all together. So hire employee, design the part, and talk with banks and everything all together. So it was an incredible journey.
So what was that conversation like with your dad when you told him that you were going to take another path? Tell me more about that experience and that moment with your dad.
Yeah, it was tough because he said, "Look, we have this company. This must be yours one day, you know." But in the south of Italy, when you have a small company, 5-6 employees, you know, it's like your empire. So so he didn't understand at the beginning. So because he said to me, "Why are you doing this? You have something, sure. You have this," in his opinion, "this empire." But I said, "Look, Dad, this is amazing. What you did is amazing. But I have to do my own path, and I need to do this. I need to try. I need to bet everything." Mm-hmm. So at the beginning was a little bit tough because he didn't understand, you know. But at the end of the day, how he can understand something like that? I mean, it's incredible new technology, totally unknown, south of Italy. So high tech in the south of Italy was something, you know, what are you doing? Hey, what is this? So I have no regrets. I mean, I understand his position, and probably one day I act like him with my, you know, with my children. So, I mean, but it's fine. Today I understand his position. At the beginning, no, but today I understand, and it's normal, I think.
Yeah, well, that's great. And so that's an incredible story and an incredible leap of faith for you to invest not just all of your savings, but 100% of your time and to be all in, especially those first 2 years and having to build the first 10 prototypes. What were some of the lessons that you learned as you were building those first 10 prototypes about building a company and about creating a new technological solution?
Very good question. learn and talk with a lot of people. This was really important for me. So have feedbacks, hard feedbacks, strong feedbacks was very valuable for me. So I spoke with a lot of people. I heard a lot of feedbacks, and I built the product talking with the customers. So in the early days of the company, I drove all around the companies close to the garage, the first garage we rented at that time. And I asked to all the companies, what are you looking for? This kind of technology, the 3D printing technology, how can be useful for you? How do you manufacture this product today? What the cost is? So I took a lot of feedbacks, and I built the product starting from the feedbacks from the field. And that was super important, because I understood that there was a space. There was a space to create something very accurate, very repeatable, because at that time, but still today, 3D printing is considered something for prototyping, just prototyping. But I had different view about the technology. My opinion, that technology was and is very valuable to create real products, to manufacture real products. So I understood how what was very important to create a repeatable, accurate technology. And for this reason, then we introduced the gears for our mechatronics movementation. So we introduced what is today one of our major patents, the beltless technology. So we don't use belts like all other 3D printers. And this was thanks to the experience in my CNC shop, because I used to work with CNC lathe with all machines. So it was so natural for me to say, but why all 3D printers use belts like 2D printers? How can you create something accurate with belts made in rubber-like material? For me, it was something like, hey, come on, are you serious? So I said to myself, look, first thing to do, we need to eliminate the belts. And the first thing came to my mind was, we need to use racks and pinions, which is super common in CNC machining. And a friend of mine, a day, said to me, look, I think that you did something new, and I think that you should patent. I said, no, come on. Hey, gears. Leonardo da Vinci invented gears 500 years ago. I didn't do anything new. No, he said, look, in my opinion, you have to patent. And he was super right. It was super right, because nobody talked about bringing a movementation like that on 3D printing. And then I patented. And today, this is one of the most important patents for us.
Yeah.
And yes.
So you're following in the footsteps of another famous Italian inventor, Da Vinci, and trying to figure out how to build a better machine. So now you've built your 10 prototypes, and you've come up with a unique part of the machine, specifically rack and pinion gearing system that now you've patented. So tell me more about the early days of just getting the company off the ground and actually selling the first few machines. What was that like for you?
Yeah, so we built the first 10 prototypes with all the savings I put in the company in the beginning, because at that time I had just a part-time employee, a mechanical engineer. So we built the first 10 prototypes, and I took the prototype, I put in my car, and I started driving around to the same companies I spoke at the beginning, asking what you need. And then I came again and said, now you have this amazing 3D printing. So I heard you, and now you have. So what are you going to do now? So I started selling the 3D printers to the companies I spoke at the beginning, and they accepted, and they started to buy, and we get some cash, and then we hired the second employee, and then we continued the path.
Yeah. How did you come up with the name Robos, and then also the name of the actual products, the names of these individual printers? I think that's an interesting origin story too.
So there isn't a specific thing for the name Robos. I didn't want something too much related with 3D printing. So Robos 3D or 3D Make or 3D something, because in my opinion, the company one day probably can start to do other things. So I don't want to have any kind of limitation, you know. So I said Robos is a great name because it sounds like something robotics, and I love that. It's not 100% related just to 3D printing, so provides me the opportunity to have an open mind for the future, and you know, never say never. And basically, we both all domains on the web, so it was like a strange word, and we both all domains, so it was very good for us today. Because we have a very good CEO optimization on the web. And this was also part of the thinking process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
create something unique. Yeah.
That's right. And then the name Argos, what was the thinking behind that product name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was because I really like the Greek history. So I'm a fan about that. So the Argo originally was the ship used by the Argonauts for an incredible mission. So in my opinion, the Argo is the ship that is going to bring 3D printing to the next step, the next of manufacturing, the step of customized production. So it's a bit philosophic, I know, but you know, I think it's nice.
Well, I think it's really important to do what you're doing and do what any entrepreneur does. It can't be just about the money. I think there has to be a change that you're trying to create in the world that is beyond whatever the business is and whatever the financials of the business is. So I think that's just such a remarkable story of the business. So okay. So now you're selling some equipment and you're making a little bit of money and you're hiring people. And your focus at this time, and I think for the next few years, is still in Europe, correct?
Or maybe correct.
Not in the United States so much, but outside of the United States. Tell us more about the years leading up to your decision to come to the United States and come to Houston in particular, and those early days of growth of the company.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember like it was yesterday. One day we got a request. It was probably 2017. We were 8, 9, maybe less. So one day we got this request coming from GE in the United States. And we said, hey, what? we still were in the garage with this, you know, nice machines, but not at the level of course we are today. And we said, why GE is getting in touch with us in the south of Italy from the New York State in the United States? Why? So and then I decided to, we sold the machine to them, and I decided to go there to install personally the machine, because I really wanted to understand the reason why they got in touch with us. And at that time, we were one of the first companies in the additive manufacturing arena working with super polymers. So the combination of super polymers like PEEK material and with the accuracy and the repeatability of our machine was super important for them. So I understood that probably we did something super important. So we created a combination of accuracy, repeatability with the possibility to print metal replacement part. And that was made them decide to have one of our machines.
I see. And go ahead. Sorry, Alessio, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So that trip was super important. And I understood a very important thing. I understood that when you do something which is technologically valuable, you can come from wherever in the world, even the smallest place in the south of Italy. But if what you created has a real technological advance and benefit for your customers, they are going to get in touch with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that the people are looking to solve these complex problems that you're now solving. And it's not surprising that GE reached out to you. So that was around 2017, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when did you decide that you should make a really strong commitment to the United States and in fact, come to Houston?
So my opinion was that, that first we had to become strong in our country. So in Italy, and then we started also to be present in France, UK, Germany. And once we did that in 2020, we decided that America would be our next supermarket. And today, America is not one of the market, is the market for us. So, and I think that when you have a country like United States, when you have these possibilities, and when your customers, your American customers, ask to be present on the territory and ask to call you and have direct assistance and have no problem, you need to make a strong commitment with them. And this is the reason we decide to move our business operations and at the end of the day, the holding company in the United States. So today, Houston is not just a branch for us, is our home. And we want to emphasize this, and we want to invest more and more in the territory, because we firmly believe that America can represent the future for the company.
Well, look, I think Houston is so lucky to have you and your business here. And I think you're right that it provides an opportunity for the United States and for Robos also to grow together. So Alessio, I want to talk a bit more about some of the value that you're creating for the marketplace. And you and I have talked a lot about supply chain transformation and how additive manufacturing can play a role there. I think a lot of people think about additive too narrowly, and they think about maybe a replacement manufacturing technology versus CNC machining, which it is not. You and your company are really doing a lot of work in supply chain transformation. And I think it'd be interesting for the audience to hear more about that from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that COVID-19 showed us how important it is to rethink about the supply chain and how unsustainable is the current supply chain. I mean, we cannot produce millions of parts in some countries and then ship all over the world. This is not sustainable anymore. So we need to rethink the way we manufacture products, the way we ship products, the way we do warehousing, and the entire supply chain. And I think that 3D printing has an amazing opportunity now. But 3D printing still needs to demonstrate to customers reliability, scalability, and the possibility to produce parts in a very accurate way wherever in the world at the same time. And we made a commitment in this direction, creating our manufacturing as a service network called Robos 3D Parts. With the network, we want to provide our customers the possibility to get in touch with us, and have their parts printed in multiple locations in the world at the same time. So we are really helping companies now in scaling production through 3D printing technology, printing up to 10,000 parts at the same time using multiple machines, but ensuring reliability and ensuring repeatability. And this is thanks to our technology. So thanks to our beltless technology and thanks to the process control and the closed loop we have on our technology, we can ensure that a part printed in Houston is exactly the same to a part printed in Singapore. And I think that this is so crucial to scale the technology, to scale the production. I mean, if you produce different parts in different locations or even in different times, you cannot scale production. Production means reliability, means scalability, and means quality control and process control. And this is what we did. So we created a unique technology, and we are providing now very innovative business model like manufacturing as a service in the world to scale production through additive manufacturing.
It sounds like there's a, besides just the physical printing, there's also a digital layer to this whole business model and workflows. And I know that your team's done a lot of work, including some recent innovations on digital workflow. Tell us more about that.
Correct. Absolutely. There is a lot of digital innovation behind, because in this story, we guarantee the traceability of the files, the traceability of the parts, the quality control of part printed through our partners network. And we recently introduced another innovation in our technology, which is called Automate technology. So with this Automate technology, we guarantee the entire workflow to our customers, and our machines now, our Argo 500 machines, can be integrated into the production workflow together with CNC machines, injection molding machines. So we integrated PLC and industrial automation technology. We made a partnership with B&R, an industrial global company, part of the ABB group, to introduce the industrial automation and the control of the workflow in our machines. So we created the first real superpolymers and composite additive manufacturing machine capable to be integrated in the workflow and track everything. So this is very important, because at the end of each print job, you can track all parameters set for the job, and you get a report at the end of the job with all parameters used, conditions, temperature, whatever. And this provides you the possibility to have the full record of how you built the part, which is fundamental for regulated industries.
Yeah, and an industry certainly like aerospace and other industries. And I think what's interesting about that too, with the recent emergence of ESG, environmental social governance, and what each of us have to do to play a role in that, I think traceability, understanding what was actually made, how does it compare to what should have been made, all of those things are very important to deliver back to the entire supply chain.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are really committed in providing a sustainable solution. And in my opinion, a real sustainable solution must be sustainable in different aspects. I mean, must be economically sustainable, environmental sustainable, and must provide a real alternative, which needs to be better. And in this direction, we are also working to provide the possibility to all our customers to create circular economy with our technology, providing back to us parts, waste of materials, etc., and give us the possibility to recycle the material and give them back. So we are going to provide a real circular economy behind materials. So we are creating a more sustainable business, because thanks to this, we are going also to provide cheaper materials. We are going to democratize more and more the technology. And we are really committed to do that.
Incredible innovation. So Alessio, you the business was founded about 6 or 7 years ago. It almost feels like you've been doing this for 20 years. it's a very long journey in the next last six or seven years. So I want to put you in a time machine. Let's say we're having this conversation 5 years from now, and we're looking back at what Robos has done now into the future. What do you dream about? What do you dream about the impact that your company has had on the world of manufacturing over the next 5 years?
Oh, wow. that's a tough question. So I think that we are providing a tool at the end of the day, because this is a tool. Technology is a tool to make something better, faster, cheaper. But at the same time, we really must be committed in create something solid for the future. So our technology must provide real answer to create sustainable technology, economically sustainable technology, environmentally sustainable technology, while we work very hard to increase the performance. Because now we are working on incredible new technologies, new materials, and the goal is to help manufacturers in the world to produce parts when they need, where they need, just in time and on demand. Replacing metals where possible, replacing obsolete production methods that create more waste of material, warehousing costs for companies, and unuseful shippings all over the world. So we need to increase performance of the technology, but we also need to think about how to create a sustainable technology for the future and how to democratize more and more the technology. Because as I said before, if we do this for the Fortune 500 companies in the world, we did just 1%. So the real potential is to provide this incredible tool to the small, medium companies. So we want to be part of this incredible change.
Well, that will be an incredible change. And you've already created so much incredible change in these last 6 or 7 years. So Alessio, how do people get in touch with Robos? What's the best way for them to learn more about your technology and how they can work with you?
Yeah, you can get in touch with us through our social media. We are very active on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. You can visit our website, and you can get in touch with us, with our application engineers, with our business managers. And it would be great to support Houston companies in adopt an incredible new technological tool to create the manufacturing of the future.
Well, great. Well, Alessio, thank you so much for your time today. I love hearing your story. I've heard some of it before, but it never gets old. I think that it's a great success story. And I can't tell you how happy that I am that you're right here in Houston and making a massive commitment to rebuilding manufacturing here in Houston and beyond. So once again, thanks for your time.
Thank you much for having me today.
You got it.
This has been the Manufacture Houston podcast, brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. If you'd like to be on the show or want to recommend someone to get on the show, just reach out to me on LinkedIn, MUSHKHAN, Mushkan. I look forward to hearing from you.